Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
How are we doing, gents?
We okay? Very well, you?
Yes, good.
Evening.
Good. Evening. We got all good.
Very nice. How are you?
Very nice. You're very nice. Are you all good? Yeah, very nice.
I'm really nice, thanks.
That's like when you ask, it's like when you ask a foreigner if they're all right and their English isn't quite there. I'm very nice.
Very nice. Very nice.
Very nice.
Ah, nice.
Oh dear. Yeah, all good, mate. All good.
What's happening?
Still a bit tired from that walk Friday.
From the big walk, from the big Kilimanjaro training.
Yep, still a bit tired, but we managed to get through it. We
got through it. For a lot of us, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was. It's just a different type of crack in it, fitness wise and that.
Yeah.
It's
a bit naughty.
Yeah, well, it was a tough one.
Have you got all the gear now? The boots?
Nah, still just trainers.
Backpack for your pat lunch or a rucksack lunch?
I took a foot asylum bag the other day. You know, one of them that you get your trainers in with that like rope thing.
Yeah.
To be honest, my pat lunch didn't make it past Sheffield train station. I got trained from Doncaster to Sheffield, 15 minutes, and then had my pat lunch at train station. It was laying a bit heavy on my stomach. I've got that big hill to start. I'll be honest with you.
As far as travel snacks go, Crossley had one of the best selections I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Homemade scotch egg, multiple.
£2 pork growler.
Yeah. Big, massive pork pie.
Gala or a regular? What? Do they have a boiled egg in there? Or a gala?
I'm not sure.
What? No, a pork growler is a pork pie. The scotch egg's got the egg in.
You want a gala pork pie? Combine the two.
I've never seen one of them.
Oh, you must have done. Pork pie with a boiled egg in the middle. Perfect.
No,
sliced.
Never seen that.
I feel like I have seen it.
Bit of mustard. Oof.
Oh, sounds no, I've got Branston or brown sauce on my pork growler. I say, here's one for you. Obviously, it's a football-related show.
Related, loosely.
Yeah, very loosely. Phil Foden, right? Do you think Pep's doing right by him or not? You know, like just chucking him in now and again and not, you know, proper running the team?
Since it's come back, he's played every game, hasn't he?
Yeah, he played the last two, but he was subbed again tonight.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. But you think he's... Because any other team in the Premier League, he's playing every week, isn't he? Maybe not Liverpool, but do you think he's doing well by him bedding him in, or do you think he'd be better just throwing him in for a season? And
I think because David Silva's leaving, isn't he, or retiring or whatever, I think he's going to replace him, and I think he's just bedding him in, like you said, to be his replacement.
You think he's doing well by him then? You think he's doing it the right way, Pep?
Steady.
I'm not questioning Pep. I'm just saying that at any other club, maybe not Liverpool, but any other club in the Premier League is playing every week, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know. I could give the opinion, but it's Pep, isn't it? He knows what he's doing.
He's done all right. He's done all right in his managerial career, hasn't he?
So far, so good.
So just thought I'd chuck a little football question in there, just to...
Very sensible topic. I'm a little bit taken aback.
Jimmy Walker, part two. That's why you're being sensible. Because let's be honest, you got a bit silly towards the end, didn't you, John?
I'll put my apologies in now for that, lads. I didn't realise that I was as slurry as what I were in that second half of that.
We're a weekender, weren't it? A weekend podcast.
Well, or Friday,
Friday.
They're podcasts.
Friday.
It's dangerous.
You know, you've got the weekend off. You know what I mean? Man, sure, we've read the last 14 weeks off, haven't we?
As good as number one, believe
yeah.
me. Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to listening to it because I can't give a fuck all about it.
Do you know what? We were talking before we came on about organising a trip down south to Essex or wherever, but we need to get on for a part three. We didn't even speak about his coaching days.
No, we didn't even touch the sides. The amount of stories at Tottenham as well, you know, considering he only had one season there, and then he went his whole career, West Ham, Walsall. I know we got a lot of Walsall, but, and then so much. So I know all the big dogs. You want to hear about it, don't you?
Yeah. I bet he was a smooth bugger. On a night out, I bet he was a smooth bugger. Yeah.
Oh, aye.
Most County fans aren't happy.
Oh, dear me. It's our Twitter feed's gone absolutely ballistic, hasn't it?
There was a bit of negativity thrown towards us, which, I mean, the wording in the tweet was, what a guy, even though he's been very negative towards Notts County. But it's just like, what a guy, you know, like, just his character.
Yeah.
You know, it's not. We're not. I'm nothing against Notts County. I don't think.
Nah.
Me neither. In fact, I scored my first hat trick at Notts County, I think.
Chrissy, there was 6 minutes there that we weren't talking about John.
You know, just popped we into the head. Then.
Back, you know what I mean?
He didn't either. He's just like, oh, no one's going to check, are they? No one's going to check the stats. Score me first hat trick at Notts County.
You could have said any Telford.
Yeah.
but he said it, so you know. I don't think he gives a toss what they think. But obviously, they're not our views, are they? We love everybody.
Oh, lads, who knows wins are back. Who knows wins league?
Yes, get in there. Get in.
Pleased to know.
I've been waiting for this. I've been doing my research unsuccessfully, but I've been doing my research. I think I'm half a chance this time around.
They've been waiting for the football to get going again, and then John is going to be a happy man. We're ready to go with the leagues.
We're ready to go.
I did miss the football when we went into lockdown and stuff, but I missed the crack on the Who Knows Wins. I missed the league crack.
So we're back up and running.
You don't know what you've got till it's gone.
Exactly. You sometimes take things for granted, and you shouldn't. I'll tell you what we've took for granted for a long time, hairdressers.
Yes.
And now we realise what an important pillars of the community that they really are.
Tell us about it.
No idea. Missed out on that one.
But so the league's back Wednesday.
Yes.
Is it Wednesday?
We're going back full throttle this week. We've got a league on Wednesday. We're doing the commentary if you want to call it commentary. Watching the game live on YouTube, Everton v Leicester. And we've got a nine teams league.
Yeah, a league of nine.
Premier League, Championship, a couple of Italian, a couple of Spanish.
Looking forward to getting that back up and running. So if you've been starved, your little accumulators and what have you.
So be a good one because all the games will be settled while we're doing the live. So we're on at 5:30, ready for the 6 o'clock kickoff, and in that time, the league will start and finish. We'll know who takes the bottle.
It's a poor man's soccer Saturday, basically.
Yeah, we're a poor man's soccer Saturday, yeah.
Shit show Wednesday.
Shit show Wednesday. That's what we should call it.
But do you ever hear fucking Jeff Stelling pissed, eh? No, we never see him pissed, do we?
And then we've got another league for the weekend, Saturday, Sunday. 10 teams for that one. So we'll get these pots back up again. Anybody who didn't take part last time, I was going to do download the Who Knows Wins app. You pick your winners from the 10 games or the 9 games, depending which league. And everybody chucks a fiver in. Whoever comes top gets 70%, second 20%, third 10%.
Yes.
10% of the pot. So it's better than we're all just chucking in the pot and taking the share of the winnings rather than fighting against the bookies.
It goes every pot is won.
What's been our biggest pot so far?
I think somebody's won about 1,600 quid, didn't they? For winning it.
I think the biggest, was it 3,700?
3,700. But I think that might have been split between, I think six might have won 650 on that one.
Yeah.
For the five.
It's going to get a bit feisty in the YouTube comments, isn't it?
Oh,
there's a couple of faces waiting on a result.
I'm not at a betting ages as well, so my confidence is up now. You know when you forget?
Your confidence is up?
Yeah, you know you forget about you've not won a few leagues. So
starting afresh.
It's like when you buy a lottery ticket for the first time in ages and you're convinced you're going to win.
Maisha, to be fair, you were probably the best out of us three for the last two or three leagues.
But never, always the bridesmaid, never quite took home the check. Let's pick the names, zip, dip, do.
Zip, do. As well, lads, for, obviously, I've getting right into the, they've organised, there would be a virtual non-league challenge cup in the last few weeks, and I've been on the hunt for votes for a team called Wallington, who my mate is a player and assistant manager for, and they had the smallest following in the cup. I think, I can't remember, they hardly get anybody at the games, or a small town in Northumberland village, and they somehow made the final. So thanks to everybody that voted.
Not only made the final, mate. Not only made the final. The lads have come on with a cup.
Yeah.
Honestly, they've all got keys to the city in Wallington. household names they are now, the lads.
Keep them at us.
Keep them in at tournament.
1,500 teams entered this non-league competition. Wallington just entered it for a bit of fun, and it was a bit of fun.
So was it like just voting, and whoever got the most votes gets through to the next round, and you just get all your supporters to vote, right?
Yeah. Well, in the semi-final, there was a team from Liverpool, and Jamie Carragher jumped on board with them, right. And they got thousands of votes in the semi. So we were up against it, but then the under the cosh faithful came. Came to the fore, unbelievable.
Thanks to everybody for voting for those Wallington lads. Yeah, we have to go up for a watch a game. Take him in after dinner. Put him in after dinner on time. Tell him to get some tickets sold. Oh, by the way, you know, now pubs are back up and running. If anybody wants to come and do an after dinner, please do get in touch.
You're available?
Yeah. Available for selection. I had plenty cancelled. It would be like take me out, you know, when they go, boo, 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 boo. So, hopefully get them rearranged and get some more in. So, if anybody wants an afternoon speaking night, make some money for your club and get plenty of ale support over the bar, just get in touch.
Your book's still out, isn't it, John?
The book's still out, yeah.
It's on sale.
It says on my CV, will travel. So, anywhere in country.
Yeah. Do you want to push any aftershave, Chris, while we're at it?
Nah, that's I'm bankrupt on that. Move on.
That ship sailed. That ship sunk.
Should we get Jimmy on?
Sunk in a smell of Ted Ford.
Let's get Jimmy on. I don't know if we were just on break last time when we mentioned it, but did you fully embrace the Essex lifestyle arriving from Mansfield for 10 years?
I'm going to be honest, I have never seen anything like it. I mean, I was in Birmingham with Walsall and Nottingham and Mansfield, and there were some great nights out, but Essex was like another level. I always remember the first time I came down, and pre-season I was trying to be really good because I wanted to get in the team, obviously, and I wanted to crack on. So I was proper focused. It took about 3 weeks of pre-season. And I remember we just signed, Teddy signed, Sheringham signed. And he come in and he ended up sitting next to me in the change room. And an unbelievable guy. What a guy. And his words were, when we got there, went, that time we had a little bonding session then, innit? I went, well, fucking Teddy's asking me, what can I say? I can't say fucking no. So I thought, he went, Thursday night, we had no game at the weekends. We'd done his games, and he says, well, just have a Thursday night. And I'm thinking, all right, I can get away with Thursdays, couple of pints, I'll be sweet, still stay focused, nothing can be open that much. Oh my God. We went into 195 that I mentioned earlier, and like, we had a few pints before it. I mean, there was a great set of lads. There was such a good set of lads there. You know, we had a mix of like me and Teddy, a bit older. You caught Fletcher in there. Chaddy joined us. You had Anton Fernand, Elliot Ward. So you had the young lads as well. It was brilliant. It was great. And we all got together and it was magic. But went up to 190 and I'm like, normally in Birmingham, I could get away with queuing sometimes, but normally I'd have to fucking queue if it was a big one. Do you know what I mean? I couldn't get the Google out and say, fucking, do you know who I am? I couldn't give it that.
They used to the PFA cards back in the day. Do you remember that?
PFA. You had the PFA card or Dean Saunders from Villa you got in, but apart from that, you was
fine. Yeah. Brilliant. Teddy's not a bad wingman, is he?
Oh, okay. Jesus. He was up there, put it that way. He was one of my best. He was one of my best. He was very good. Well, we went in, and I walked up to 195, and this queue was enormous. On a Thursday night, I must have been 200 people in the queue minimum. And I'm thinking, we ain't getting in here. There's 20-odd. We mob-handed here. There's about 25 lads. Like, the queue's enormous, both sides, the VIP bit and the main one. I'm thinking, bloody hell, it's Thursday night. What's going on here? And as we got in, gone to the front, Teddy, how you doing? And the guy who owned it, Scott, was a massive West Ham fan. So we just had the run of it. It was amazing. And he opened the rope. Fucking in you come. 25ers. Fucking took a few friends out the queue as well. New friends. Fancy coming? Anything above a, anything above, anything above a nine? Yeah, you can come. Not your mate. You can. Ah, oh, it was brilliant. I went in. I think I ended up staying there, going in there Thursday, Friday and Saturday that week. So my focus shifted. That was brilliant. It was brilliant. It was a great
Teddy
time.
Had been here then. Teddy must have been 30.
Well, he had his
37. Nah, right?
He had his 40th that season, and oh, I know it because we played that little run we had at the end. I can't give too much away. But I mean, we got promoted, so it probably can. But we played. That was the Wigan game. Wigan game on the Saturday was Teddy's 40th. So we had Burnley away on the Tuesday. So we were staying up in Manchester after the Wigan game. So the win was even better. Do you know what I mean? I played, so it was even better. So we ended up staying up there and we went out for Teddy's birthday on the Saturday. And he scored the winner on Turf Moor on the Tuesday after about 48 hours on the piss for his 40th birthday.
So it was obviously low key, wasn't it? Because he weren't meant to be out. Is that right?
Well, Parnes was all right on the Saturday. He said, and we went out, had a meal, and he said, no, do what you like Saturday, it's fine. Have a bond. Just don't get into any trouble. Parnes was good like that, to be fair. He knew if he starts having curfews and stuff, people break it, it causes you fucking problems, doesn't it? So you either do or you don't. And he said, look, great win. Get yourselves out. Have a good night. We'll have a recovery session Sunday. And we'll train Monday and we'll go and beat them Tuesday. And that's how it ended up. Although we did have a few more on a Sunday without him knowing.
So, we've lost over Bywater.
Yeah.
He came to Cardiff for a 6 week, 2 months. And my big memory of Bywater is we'd be sat on the coach and I was sat next to him, right? And he'd literally just go and for audio and he'd just literally put his shirt up like that and just... And he'd blow his nose on the inside of his fucking shirt, right? Yeah. And then just pull his shirt back down. What the fuck are you doing? He went, well, I'm going to blow my nose. So he got obviously all this stuff on the inside of his T-shirt going to a game or on a Friday.
I mean, I roomed with Stevie for a year during this time. And what can we say? He's a special man. There's not many like him. Honestly, he was, and he was the perfect man to come on in that pressure situation in the final with a minute to go. Because I don't think it would register with him. He'd just go and deal with it. He's like, but I've got so many stories on him. I've got one. I've got to save it for my book though because it's too long. And if I'm going to get lawsuits, I need to get paid first so I can pay him off.
He tells us on the bus one. He says, "You're having a duel with his next door neighbour."
I know this one though.
I'm going to do with his next door neighbour for whatever reason. Boundary walls on his
something
his
like
property
that.
Next door. So
something like that.
He paid about $7,000 for a crane to lift a caravan into his back garden and just put like sellotape blow up dolls and dildos all over this.
I think it was graffitied. I remember it making the press.
Yeah, I think it did, didn't it?
They were trying to sell their house next door, and he went, "Nah, fuck you." And it just a caravan, like, you know, the old ones, like little old caravans, and it got fucking dildos and all that. So whenever he does come to look at property next door, and it cost him a fortune, man.
Jim, did you buy into the whole goalkeepers union thing?
No, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I think it has to be. There has to be a certain camaraderie because you're vying for the same position. So you should hate each other. You should want each other to do badly, really. But if you work like that, then it, do you know what I mean? It never works. It'll just never work. So in all my years in football, it's always been a real good. I've never wanted a goalkeeper to be playing and have a bad time. And that's totally honest.
Deep down, surely, though.
No. Honestly, never. Don't get me wrong. If they did and they chucked one in, you'd be off thinking, "Fucking shame." Oh well, I might get a game next week. But you never wanted him to before, and there's no way you'd train leading up to it like you would. You know what I mean? If I saw it in any of my goalies now, I'd have serious words. If someone's playing, the rest have to be 100% behind them, because when you get your turn, you'd expect the same from them, and I'd expect the same from them. As a goalie, you like to say you've got two or three, possibly three sometimes, fighting for that one position, and you're with each other so often. It's strange in a way, because anyone who's not been in that position don't ever quite understand it. And I think that's why you say goalies union, because I think there has to be. And do you know what? For me as well, some of the goalies have got fucking some good banter, man. you've either got great banter, a madman, or you're a bit wired not right. There's no other way. It's just.
But I mean, I think you are a different breed. I mean, I'm quite good pal with Chris Kirkland, and he seems too sensible to be a goalkeeper.
Yeah, but you've got that type, Chris. You got Green is very much like that, Rob Green. And then you've got on the other side of the scale, you've got Bywater.
You know.
If you can get him on. I've got one story. We went to Greece for pre-season. The first night we got there and trained, and we went and had a little look round. We was in the middle of Athens, to be fair. It was a brilliant place, lively, right on the main drag, loads of bars and that. So we said, we'll just have a little walk. It's famous last words, isn't it? So we ended up getting a bit too carried away. Getting a bit too carried away. Bywater's, he can't drink anyway. He is the worst drink I've ever met. So he got a few in, and he's the strongest man in the world as well when he's had a beer. So he's all leery. You try to control him. It all went a bit wonky anyway, long story short. We end up getting back to the hotel about 2-3 in the morning. Paz didn't know anything about it, to be fair, because it was even late. He thought we was all in bed. It was that fucking late. So we got there. We had a game the next day against, I think it was PAOK. Fucking good side. So we end up training in the morning and playing again. So it's still pre-season. We played the night. Oh, it was a really good game, to be honest. I think we got a 1. I can't remember the score. It might have been 1-1. It was a real close game. Their fans took to us a little bit as well, because it was such a good game. We played great football. So we played again that night. We've been steady that night. We've gone to training in the morning. And outside the hotel, there's a big newsstand. And like everyone goes past. And it was a fucking lively place. And we had a translator with us all the time to help us and all that. So he's gone there, and Paz, we all come out there and we're looking at the newsstand. It's got all the papers for like action from the game from the night before. So you've got a load of action pictures on the back, loads of writing and all that. And Paz is like that. So the translator going, "Oh, what are they saying?" And the translator's like having a bit of a stutter up and all that. And we're looking at him going, "Is he telling the truth?" Like Paz. And he's gone around, he's gone, no, just saying like, in it, breath of the fresh air for an English team to be playing great football, and you know the fans were great, and what a good game it was, and everyone really enjoyed it and all that. went on for a bit too long, and we go, all right, got the train anyway. We pulled the translator after. We've gone, oh, geez, what? That didn't really say that, did it? He went, mate, I couldn't tell him what he fucking said. He's gone on it going, and the track, they knew we was out from two, and it's got a looking in the headlines going, how can English players do this? They're out till fucking 2 o'clock the night before, spraying the champagne in fucking whatever bar it was. They're doing this, they're doing that, and they fucking play a game like that after that. How can English players do it?
He's done you a favour there, that translator.
Oh, he did us a massive favour. So we're like, I think we give him a couple of euros. Went, well done, son. Well done.
Going back to your injury, mate, how long did that keep you out then? Bear in mind your first crack at the Premier League.
You know what, Brownie? Like, I know a joke about that, but that was a real tough time. That was a hard time. That was like, so imagine I've waited all this time to get to the Prem. Done everything I can to get there. My knee's fucking gone. Summer, I've had no summer because I've had rehab. I've had the operation. The lads are back in training. And West Ham at the time, Chad Relief, weren't a great training ground. And I'm in this dingy fucking gym. And it's got bars on the windows and that. It felt like a jail. I was in jail. I've been punished for something. And I'm watching the lads preparing to play in the Prem. And I'm going, and the more it went on, I'm going, fucking hell, well, that should be me sort of thing. How am I in here? And I was quite, why the fuck am I in here and not out there? Fuck, man, what have I sort? And it was like a poor, woe is me and all that time, really. And there was no really any light at the end of the tunnel. It took me 9 months to get fit. For 3 months, I was probably focused. And then I remember watching a game at Upton Park and we beat Villa. And we signed Roy Carroll at the time as well. And Roy did great. Roy was a great goalie. Great lad as well. That's another story.
I've heard about Roy. I've heard stories about Roy.
Roy was brilliant, mate. What a guy. Honestly, so much time for him. But probably we weren't a good mix together, if I'm being honest. We probably liked going out a bit too much. So did most of the lads, though, as well. But, and I remember they played Villa and they beat them 4-1. And it was an amazing game. Atmosphere was incredible. And I'm sat in there. And I've been focused after me up for 2 or 3 months. And I'm sat in the bar up top and I've got all the girls looking after me and all that who worked up there, who was brilliant as well, in all the boxes. And I'm watching the game and I remember like thinking, like my head proper went a little bit. I'm going, that should be Roy. Roy had a great game, nothing against him. I was pleased for him. But like, I'm thinking, I've done all that. It fucking should be me out there. And I remember having a glass of red and that. And I always loved the booze anyway. And I had a couple more and then a couple more. And then that just started really. And the physios at the time had changed. So I weren't getting the treatment I needed. It looked like I weren't going to ever get fit again, to be honest. And it was one of them. I probably had 4 months where I was fucking, I went out too much. I was fucking not taking care of myself. I was in a real bad place at that time.
Did you always make it in for work though?
Do you know what, John? It would have been better if I was structured like that. But because I was out for so long, the physios had just came in and they sort of not, what's the word? It's harsh on them. I was really hard to manage at that time when Mehdi had gone. And like, I was late for work. I wouldn't come in. I'd go in, but I'd be late. And I'd go, well, what the fuck am I? And it ended up aroused. What time did you call this? I go, well, if I'd have got here fucking half an hour earlier, what the fuck would you have done for me? You've done nothing for the last fucking month. Like, what? Yeah. So it ended up around. And like, and in the end, I think they just wanted me fucking not to row with them sort of thing and out of the way. Which then made me fucking 10 times worse because I had no sign of getting back to fitness. I'm fucking feeling sorry as fuck for myself and I've got no structure, yeah. Which, you know, as a footballer, that's probably the one of the things that keeps us on the fucking straight and narrow anyway over the time. It's that hard. I know lads struggle when they retire because they then have no structure. They don't have to be somewhere at a certain time. They're not told to do this. They're not told to do that. It left you on your own. You fucking know. It's easy to go off it.
Do you think if you'd have had a physiotherapy team would have said, right, if you're not in at fucking 9 o'clock tomorrow, mate, you find a week's, would that be better? That would have been better for you, you think?
But it was, do you know what? It's a real, probably a harsh one for them. It would have been better for me. But because I was still good banter around the lads, Pards wanted to keep me in them. Do you know what I mean? So he was happy with me in them because normally you'd take someone who's long term and take them off and, do you know what I mean? And make sure they're in it early or later. But I sort of had, not more
free reign.
Yeah, they couldn't really tell me what to do. I said, fuck off, basically. And Pards really wouldn't say anything. Pards would say, just come in with the lads, have a bit of bants and all that. And Pards ended up taking me to La Manga on a pre-season about September, October, international break. But we didn't have many internationals. And I think Konchesky played. So he was the only one went and we all watched him in the bar. And I mean, Bywater again was fucking outstanding on that trip. But there's another story. And Pards took me on that trip for banter alone. I mean, I was nowhere near fit. And I remember coming down the first day. I mean, this is funny. This is how the book probably starts. I don't want to give too much away, but I actually come down and Pards didn't have a clue how far gone I was at this point. He just seen me come in, have bits of banter. Lads love me. But even the lads was like, not turning a little, but like, oh, look at the state of him. I came down on the first day. They all went to bed about 2 in the morning. I went to bed about 6. So I come back down and we all meant to be down 9 o'clock for the first of the day. I'm meant to be down with the physio. I've come down in my dressing gown. I've had about fucking half an hour's sleep. I've come down and fucking like that. And the physio's like trying to go mental at me in front of the lads. I'm like, fucking time, you got it late. You're fine. I'm like that. And I just fucking went, meh. I don't give him a fucking Ray Liotta laugh in there. Looking back, you think, oh, it's bad. And I was in a bad way, really.
Yeah.
But it's fun. It's funny when you like you see it. But even the lads, I could feel them starting to turn a little bit. And I thought, fuck it. I went, right. And they all went to training. I'm like, a few of them look at him, going, look at the state of him and all that. So my head's gone even more again now. And I've got a crossroads now. Physios want me to go to the gym. I'm still beaming. I'm like, ah, can't see that happening. So I'm thinking, right, I'm going back to the minibar in my room. And I'm thinking, that's not a good slope. I said, tell you what, I'm in my head. I'm off. I've got my shorts on anyway. I've got my robe on. I'm going to the spa. I can sweat it out a little bit. And this is gossip. This is how the book starts as well. I'm giving too much away. Like, with that. And as so physio said, right, all right, get yourself in the gym. I went, yeah, I'm going to the gym. So I've gone straight to the spa. And as I've gone in, there's a fucking hen do, about 30 Spanish birds aged between 18 and 28. And I'm like, ah, thank you very much. Hola.
You're feeling good as well.
Mate, that was unbelievable. The champagne cocktails come out. I'm texting the lads, you better get back from training sharp, by the way. Oh, it's brilliant. So, I mean, but yeah, it was a tough, I think Pards just, he had no idea really about, because I probably won't go in until 12 o'clock some days. So it's like, by that time, you've recovered a little bit. Do you know what I mean? If I had been at 8, 9, the state of me would have been not great. So
not being held to account by anyone.
I'm not being held to account, no. And it was only, I went to see John Green, who was the physio before, who was an amazing fella, great coach, very straight-laced. So he didn't get on with Pards, and that's why Pards got rid of me. Pards just wanted lads around him who just had banter with him and tell him how good he was. John weren't like that at all. Do you know what I mean? So John left and he had his own practice and I ended up going to see John. And again, long story short, and it's very, I go a lot more in depth like in the book as I wrote it, but it was a real crossroads for me at the time. I could have gone one way or the other around this time. I could have sunk without ever coming back to anything like, never mind a professional athlete again, fucking a human being. So it was like one of those where I went to see John. I rang him and I said, well, you can't speak to your family really about it. No one really speaks about anything else. Your lads think I'm having banter all the time. But it gets to a point where it's not banter anymore. And I went to see John, like I said, and long story short, he got us in and that probably stopped me going out that night because he said, I'll see you at 9 o'clock in the morning. And I said, all right, brilliant, I'll be there. And like sat there at night and I thought, I can't go and see John steaming. So I stayed in that night and I went to see him and he went, what the fuck have you done to yourself? Sort of thing, and he just laid down the line there, and then
the driver saw it. Just by looking at you,
just by looking at shape,
yeah.
And you look at my knee was bigger than my head. So I mean, that's 4 months in. It should be people get back from 6 months. I mean, mine was always going to be 8-9 months minimum anyway because of the severity of it. So I knew I had 9 months, but he just looked, and I'm 4 or 5 months in, maybe 6 months nearly, and he's looked at the size of my knee, the size of my belly, and that, and gone, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you need to make a decision because you've gone one way or the other here. And that was it. And I needed that. And so from what, that, really.
What would you say that you had a problem with drink or you had a problem injured?
I think it was an accumulation, John, really. It was funny because there was always something to do down there. Do you know what I mean? I knew like a lot of people down there at the time who weren't footballers. So I like knew, and there was fantastic lads, looked after me, treat, and they wouldn't know how I was feeling in the slightest. They just see me injured, having a good time. And don't get me wrong, I don't want to paint a terrible picture because it was an unbelievable time. It was an amazing 4 or 5 months. Fucking hell, I'd had the Peno save. I'd had the season. We got promoted. Everyone wanted to say hello. Everyone wanted to speak to you. Everyone wanted to pat you on the back still. Everyone wanted to ask how the knee is and all that. And I'm going, yeah, it's fine. But in my head, I'm going, I can't see me playing again. And I think that was the end. That was the main bit of it, was as much as I'm disguising it with going out. And like I say, when I'm out, it was brilliant. But then when you get back on your own,
yeah,
it's tough and you go down. So then I either stay indoors and crack a bottle of red open on my own and get even more depressed, or I ring someone and say, what are you doing? Fancy fucking like that? And then it started from, oh, we'll have a golf this afternoon, to, ah, fuck the golf, we're just going to have half a lager at the King Willie. And it escalated and it comes to a real crossroads where, fortunately, I made the right decision.
The escapism's going out.
It was. I couldn't play football. I had no sign of playing football. And I know, you know what football's like. If you're not, that's soon going to go. The pats on the back are soon going to go if you don't come back anytime soon. You might have 1 or 2 years at that. And then, that's that guy who used to play for West Ham. And it could have been fucking, look at the size of him now or something. You know what I mean? It could be anything. So I wanted to get back playing more than anything, but I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it with my knee. He was in no fit state. So I went out the other side. And the only way I could be with the lads as well, I couldn't be with them on the pitch. And I love the lads. I could be with them on a night out. I'm fucking main man on the night out again with them. Can't do it on the pitch. They've got the escape. They'll have a night out, but then they'll go and focus on the next game. I didn't have that. And it was tough. And it took me a while. And again, you think about moments. And when I started to turn it round, I remember we played Spurs away. And this is the time I sort of said I need to focus. And I actually went hospitality with a few of the lads I know from round and about, not footballers. And there was, again, great lads. But if I wanted a night out, they was on the end of the phone. They fucking love going out with me. Yeah, Jim, fucking right. Yeah, they love going out with me. I just fucking won the playoffs for West Ham, do you know what I mean? They went to the hospitality and went, Jim, yeah, you want to come? I said, brilliant. Yeah, normally I'd be on it from 9 a.m. with them. But they're having the first drinks and all that, and I'm trying to bat it off, and it was hard. Don't get me wrong, I'm fucking like that. And I watched the game, and I still didn't have a drink. And I said, sure. But they were as good as gold when I explained it. I said, look, I'm trying to fucking get my head right. I need to get back playing again, blah. And they were as good as gold after that. But then I watched the game, and Anton Ferdinand scored in the last minute to equalise, and the fucking atmosphere was incredible. And it was brilliant. The West Ham fans again went off, and it was great. And I just thought about it. First time I see clearly how much I missed playing. And from then, everyone went back inside to the hospitality. And I just remember sat at the top of the stands, and the lads were still celebrating and warming down and celebrating with the fans that was went there. And I just remember sat at the top. I didn't go and see anyone, didn't say anything, just sat at the top of the stand and watched them. And I thought, you know what? That actually that means more to me than any of this lot. Not people, like playing wise, means more to me than anything else to me. And that gave me a renewed focus. And I think from that moment, I went, that's it. And I went back to see Johnny Green, long story short. And I was back in the gym with him at 6 a.m. every morning.
Change your own whole life.
Yeah, changed it. I had to change. It was the only way. He laid it on the law. He said, it's the only way to do it. You start with me at 6 a.m. I'll take you in the morning. You can go into the ground at 9. After that, so I still had my time with the lads. I still had my time with the physios there, although they didn't do loads with me. And then I'd go have lunch with the lads. So I got my fix of the lads. And then instead of then going out after, I'd go back to Johnny Green and spend another 2-3 hours with him. And
you're doing that at your own expense?
I was doing that at my own expense, yeah. It was something I had to do. I didn't want to tell anyone. Yeah. I didn't want anyone to know, just get away from it. I know I'm going on a little bit now and that, but I never sort of had that goal setting thing before it and all that. But when through John, it was like, right, you need to start setting these dates when you come back, something to focus on. Give yourself something to focus on. And I did. And at the club, I had no idea whether I was even going to get fit or not. Like, they just looked at me as fucking no chance. But the more I went, the more I went. It got to sort of the January window. And I heard Pars was going to take someone on loan to finish the season as a bit of backup as well, or to play. And I sort of went to see Pars. I went, look, I promise you, I'll be back on this date. And he went, but the fucking physios wrote you off for the season, Jim. You might not ever come back. I need to get someone. I'm light. I went, I promise you. I've never let you down before. I'll give you this date. That'll be my first resi game. That'll be my first training game. That'll be my first resi game. I'll play 3 resi games and I'm good to play. And unfortunately, it worked out. It worked out really well.
It's mad that, isn't it? I mean, but no matter how you've had your life and everything and enjoy the away from football, you still got that, right, I'm going to get back for that day.
Drive.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's the drive, mate. You can have a laugh at a joke, you can have a pint with the best of them, but when it comes to it, you love your football and you want to be a footballer.
Absolutely.
But you needed that guy to literally say, right, fucking sort your shit out.
100% I needed that. 100%. I'd have never done it on my own.
Sorry. Do you think it could have been very different if it weren't for him?
Oh, absolutely. I gave him my, and the surgeon as well was brilliant, Andy Williams. And to be fair to John, he took me to see Andy again because he wanted to see how fucking bad the knee was because I'd done nothing with it in 5-6 months. And I saw it.
Yeah, but Jim, you say that, but it was you that stood there and went, I want to be part of that.
Yeah.
That's what, so you went to, you sourced this John Green, the physio. It was you that made the decision to go after that.
Well, I saw
all the credit.
Absolutely. And I sort of knew, obviously John was there before and then he left. And it just panned out that I think I'd not spoke to him for months. I mean, he said, come and see me anytime, anything for the knee, come and see me. So 2-3 months when I started, I was with him doing bits anyway in that. It's just then when I went by the wayside, I'd not spoke to him for like 2-3 months, probably 4 months after that. And it was just something in me that said, who can help me? Like I had to ask for help. There's different ways of helping, you know. People need help for all sorts of things. Unless I couldn't go and talk to my family, I couldn't go and talk to the lads and say that. So I think fucking hell, and I think Johnny Green probably the only man I could. And thankfully, I made the call and he agreed to see me. And I dedicated my first Prem shirt to him. To be fair, and just put on it like, would not have achieved this without you. Thanks for everything. And that was true.
But you could have gone to see him 2 months earlier, you know, when you were bang on it and whatever. So it might have held you back a little bit, but as long as you end up getting to the goal where you're wanting to, you know what I mean?
Like I said before, you've got to go through that process before you get there.
Yeah.
You've got to hit the bottom before you're ready to whip your way up and seek the help from whoever, the different catalysts. Obviously, you knew him before and you knew that you could speak to him. But you've got to hit that bottom place before you pick that ball.
Absolutely, hit the nail on the head. Hit the nail, exactly what you said. You got to hit the bottom before you can build yourself up. And fortunately, I had someone to help me and then help myself. People have different problems. That was me getting back fitness. Was my main... I had something to focus on, do you know what I mean? People have all sorts of addictions, illnesses. They, you know, it's easy to say, ask for help. It's really hard to do it, actually. But it's the only way to... It is the only way to help yourself. Is the only way.
Jimmy, if I could get serious for a minute, was there many in the hen who were above a 9?
Well, the ones I ended up with was 9, 8.5 and 7. And then the last one was a 4.
We've hit rock bottom. We've hit rock fucking bottom.
That's when I hit rock bottom.
That was rock bottom. For help.
it was brilliant. It was brilliant. And to get back fit and playing the Prem was amazing. And then we had the FA Cup final, which was great. Another story. I should have played. I was hoping to play in that. Pause, to be fair, went with Shaka. I understood it. As hurt as I was, I was in his head for weeks. I've come back. Everyone wrote me off. I played in the Prem games before it. Shaka played in the Cup games and a few Prem games. So we mixed up. And I thought, I'm in Pause's head for 3 weeks going, you need to play me. It's fate. Like, fucking everyone's wrote me off. It's a year to the day. The same pitch. The same fucking bit of grass, the same state. Everyone's wrote me off there. I've come back miraculously. It's fate. It's written in the stars, Pards. And he's like, I hear you. And I'm thinking, I'm in here. Come on. And he pulled me on the Thursday before it. I said, look, I'm going to go with Shaka. And we had a disagreement for about 20 minutes. But it would have been harsh not to play him. Shaka had been great. Big Shaka Islop had been great all through. But, and then I still couldn't help feeling throughout it, and still now, that I might not save Gerard's shot. I know I said I would when I'm joking about. I just felt that was the one moment that would redeem everything. Do you know what I mean? And not being able to make it hurt me. It still hurts now a little bit.
You've got to deal with it.
But it was out.
He was a bit lazy getting down.
Shaka was a great goalie, but I think I don't even think I give the corner away. I think I stick it. I'm being honest. I stick it and change history. That's all. I don't know.
West Ham FA Cup winners.
It still fucking hurts me now. I ain't gonna lie. But to have the chance of playing that would have just cemented it nice for me, but that wasn't to be. And unfortunately, after that, I came back the next year and I had to have another. I played for a little bit and got real good shape, but my knee was not quite right, and I couldn't train a full week and play on a Saturday and then train a full week. And if I'm honest, some players can get away with it, like your Paul McGraths, your Ledley Kings, Brad Friedel, don't need to train all week and they can play on a Saturday. I was never that good of that bracket to be able to do that at that level. For me to be, to play at that level week in, week out, I had to be 100% right, training 100% right, living 100% right. And if I could have done that with my knee, I would have done that 1,000,000%. My knee sort of after, and I had another 6 months out with another op, which really hurt. That one hurt. And that sort of cemented where I was in my career after that. I was more, you know, they signed Rob Green after that, who was fantastic. He was amazing. And he did exactly that. He did exactly what I just said. He trained 100%, he lived 100%, and he was focused 100%. And he, you know, he was less talented than some goalies I've worked with. But he gave himself the best opportunity, and he went on and was fantastic and played for England. So there was my thoughts of what maybe I could have, and that'll always be a little bit of a, you know, in my head, maybe what could have. But it just wasn't. After the second op, I just couldn't reach that level. I was a good backup goalie. But
at this point, are you thinking, I just want to make as much money as I can, I just want to prolong my career as much as I can, and just stay?
Well, it's
in and around it.
Yeah. Well, you know. It's, yeah. Like, I mean, I could still do a great job. I just couldn't. If you wanted me in for 2 or 3 games, I'd be fine. And I was a great number two. Sort of knew my role as a number three if I needed to be. But it was one of them. It's, how good is it to where I've come from and everything I've done to be actually still in the Prem, being around the squad and the team for every game, you know, on the bench, in the squad, I was travelling everywhere still. It's a great thing to be in. What a great living. There's nothing better to do. And I changed my mindset to, I want to play every week. And if I weren't playing, I was pissed off at whatever level I played at. I changed it to there to, all right, I'm going to have to, I can't do it this level every week. Do I want to drop down to Div 1, maybe the bottom of the champ, not train all week and still do okay? Or would I rather stay in the Prem and be around it? And that's the thing I chose. And I thought I could nick the old cup games. I could nick, you know, the old games like that. And it did come back to me in the end, because after 2 years of doing that, I just sort of wanted to play. I was fit and I could, even if I didn't need to train, not in the Prem, but in the champ, definitely, maybe. Div 1, definitely. So I wanted to go and play. I was like, maybe 2-3 years left out of it. I thought, you know what? I'll go and play. And I was all set to do that. And I ended up doing that. I mean, we've not touched on Spurs yet, but I was there for a year doing exactly that role, second, third choice. And it was a fantastic year. It was an amazing year. And I could have stayed. Harry asked me to stay doing that, and it was a choice there. But if I'm going to have another 2 years left, I think I'd rather play. Forget the money. Forget. Like, I actually want to go and play. And Walsall got in touch with me then, and my mate had took over as manager, Martin O'Connor, and there was desperate trouble, and he asked me to come back, and I went back. I trained on the Tuesday with, I'm rolling the ball out to Modric, who's chopping about 5 players, popping out to Bale. Bale's wrapping it into Van der Vaart, who's fucking laying off for Defoe to smash in the top bin. Crouch is fucking coming this way. Robbie Keane smashing one against me. I'm making a save there. Unbelievable place to play football. I went from that on a Tuesday, signed for Walsall and trained there on the next day. I think it was a Thursday, actually. Wednesday at Spurs, Thursday at Walsall with, like, no disrespect, Darren Byfields and fucking sort of on a shit heap of a pitch. I thought, what the what the fuck have I done? what was I thinking?
Did you nearly sign for Derby before Spurs?
I did, yeah, I did. So I knew sort of West Ham was coming to an end. I mean, Zola took over. I mean, obviously, I had Curbs before that. And it was a fantastic time. It was a great time. I knew my role. Yeah, and I loved the club. I loved being around the lads. The fans were always brilliant to me. Curbs came in, took over. We had the Great Escape. So, I mean, there was something every year. We had the playoffs. I personally had the Lampard penalty save. We had the playoffs in the first season. Then we had the FA Cup final next season. And then we had the Great Escape, which we was down at that point. We was 8. Jesus. I think we was like, I can't even remember how many points we were adrift, but we won 8 out of the last 9 games. And Tevez came to the party out of nowhere. So it was a brilliant time. Zola came in and I was on my way out a little bit. I went on loan. I wanted to go and play again. And I thought, you know what? And I spoke with Zola and he said, look, I'm not seeing you play. No offence, but I've got Greeny playing. I can't remember who was underneath at the time. He said, so if you go and play out on loan, because if I need you, come out. I said, do you know what? It's a great shot. I'll go and play on loan. So I went to Colchester actually and had a real good 3 months there. Really enjoyed it. Loved playing. That gave me the thought of playing again anyway, sort of thing. So that came to an end, an easier end than it would have been to leave West Ham. Do you know what I mean? Zola, I'd not really played under him, weren't going to play. He was a fantastic fella. He couldn't have been any nicer about it. And that was it. Just went at separate ways. We both agreed. I didn't try and push it or anything. And he said, and I wanted to go at that time anyway. Anyway, so, I mean, I saw Harry Redknapp in the summer at a golf day. And I know Harry bits, but not loads. And I spoke to Harry and he said, what are you doing next season? And I just said, do you know what? Last few years, I want to go and play somewhere. I've got Colchester, I've got a couple of others and maybe Derby. Like, I'm going to play week in, week out. It'd be a great way to finish. He's like, that'd be great. And he happened to say, he said, well, it's a shame though, you've got that sort of, because desperate for a bit of cover, a bit of experience cover. I'm like, well, I can be swayed a little bit here, right?
Colchester, Derby, what the hell the fuck is Derby?
So I mean, it was hilarious how it happened because I've been Marbella with Brownie's mate Ben Anik and a few of the other lads who were down there, and had a real good summer. And then I'd come back from Marbella like about a day before this, and I had this golf day and I forgot all about it. So I got the call, Jimmy, still coming in. I was like, yeah, no problems. I felt ropey as fuck. So I'm on the water. I'm on the ice water. And I'm talking to Harry on the ice water and everyone else is getting steaming around it. And Harry's going to me, he's going, yeah, you've always been a good pro, Jim. You've always been a good pro. I think you fucked me if you've only seen me for the last 4 weeks. But so I'm on the ice water and he's going, I'd love a bit of experience for you. I was like, do you know, I've sort of agreed it with Derby, but... Or culture, so I've got to make my mind up and enter. I feel bad on him, really. He's gone, look, don't worry. If nothing comes of it, I'll have a look still, but I'd love to take you down there. I was like, oh, fucking hell, that's put a spanner in the works. But I thought, I'm back in the same boat. They had Gomez, they had Cudicini, they had Ben Button. It's a good goalies there. And I think I'm going to be third, second, best case, second choice, more third. I thought, I actually would prefer to go and play again, to be honest. So I ended up doing. I went to Derby, met Cluffy, and long story short, Cluffy was. I met him before the game. They needed to win a couple to stay up, and we ended up shaking hands on it. It was like a fucking Jerry Maguire moment. Words stronger than oak and all that bollocks. I learned a fucking lesson at 38 there. But we shook on it, and I agreed the deal. It was not quite as much as West Ham, but it was a good deal. It was better than like Colchester could offer, even though it was a really good deal. So. I'm thinking playing on a good screw still, it's the one. If they stay up, happy day. So we shook on it. They won the game. They won the next one and they stayed up. So I spoke to Clough. He said, brilliant. He said, yeah, be in touch over the summer. We'll get it all sorted. So I thought, brilliant. So I've gone away for the summer thinking it's fucking signed and sealed. But obviously I haven't put pen to paper or anything. Had the great time. Seen Harry at the golf day. Come back. And it's like pre-season, but I've heard nothing from Cloughy. I'm like, that's a bit strange. And his words were, he promised me, he said, look, there'll be you and Stevie Bywater. There's Roy Carroll there as well. And there was Lewis Price. And he said, look, I'm going to get them two out. I said, well, look, do you need to get them out before you get me in? Because I've got other things on the table, if not. And he said, no. Fucking words stronger than oak, blah, blah, blah. Deal's there. It'll be you and Steve. Even if I can't get the others out, they won't train with us. It'll be used to. I was like, all right, I'll take your word at that. And end up, so anyway. Got to middle of July, everyone's back training for a couple of weeks. I'm like, trying to ring Cluffy, texting him, nothing back. What the fuck's going on here? So I end up leaving a message about 3 weeks in. Said, right, Nige, what the fuck's going on, mate? Like, I thought it was done and signed and sealed. I'm coming down the training ground now to fucking, like, to see you. I need to know what's cracking off, like. Answering me call. I should have done it earlier, to be fair. But anyway, I went down to the fucking training ground. He rang me back then. When not threatened to go down the training, but said I was going, I ran back and said, Jim, fucking chairman's killed me. I've got to get them two out before I can get you in. I said, what was the exact words we fucking said? Do you have to get them two out before I come in? No, you're in. Like, come on, you're fucking killing me. It's 3 weeks into fucking pre-season. Colchester's deal's well gone. I had two or three others that was on in our end that have all signed people. My fuck. He said, look, I don't want to stitch her. And Duffy was all right. He just fucking could have said the truth then. But he's gone. He said, come and train. And while you're in the building, I'll get a deal done. And we'll force chairman's hand and all that. So at least I thought, all right, fair play. At least he's grassroots. So I went in, but I've not trained. So I'm 3-4 weeks off everyone else, really. So I weren't great shakes. I was all right. Anyway, long story short, Cluffy's ended up offering me like a quarter of the deal that he offered. He said, that's all I can do. The chairman won't go to any more of that. I said, fucking hell, I can't do it for that. Like, I'm better off going to fucking Walsall. And so I'm thinking, I've got nothing else though. Fucking season's starting. Like, I'm going to have to take his offer. So I'm sat there and I've been in his office. And I was talking to Jake Livermore, who was on loan from Spurs at the time. It's fucking surreal. And we're watching the big screen in the canteen. And fucking Harry's doing his usual fucking winding the window down, speaking to the fucking cameras like that. And they've asked him, they've said, like, he's wound the window down, and fucking he's on the screen. He's like, I think the question was, like, are you looking to bring anyone else in? So Harry's like, nah, I'm all right now. We've probably settled for what we're going to get. No more business. So probably the only thing I'd like to do is maybe a couple of experienced ones. One experienced right back, maybe, right side, and then maybe an experienced goalkeeper as a bit of cover. I'm like, ah. Jake, fuck you. Right, I'm off. Rang Harry, he went, yeah, Jim, all over. You're not signed. I thought you signed the Derby. I said, no, nothing done. He went, fucking perfect. I'm desperate for someone like you. And he's gone, yep, come down. All I need to do is train for 3 or 4 days. Show Parksy, the goalie coach, you've still got it. Show me you can still do it. I ain't seen you play for a while. I know you'll be great around the lads. Just come down, get a feel for everything, and there's a deal to be done. I never said bye to no one. I was gone. The car didn't even fucking touch the tarmac. I was looking down the M11 before anyone knew what had happened. I went in the next day and met them all and trained, and I'm like, I'm thinking I was probably over the top, like, I'm like, yeah, I feel fit, H, feel fit. He's going, you're not good, look in good shape. I'd had a couple of weeks training, so I weren't too bad. So I'm in the shooting, I'm going, yeah, anyone more? I'll do some more. Fuck it, yeah, we'll do this. We'll cross the finishing, yeah, I'm fucking in, of course I am, I'm in. Right, I was out there for fucking hours. As I'm leaving the ground, so I'm on trial really at this point. So as I'm leaving the ground, I'm like, Gaffer, H, see you tomorrow. Poxy, brilliant. Yeah, can't wait for tomorrow's session already. Brilliant. Great. I'm on the way back. I got out of the car about 2 minutes away to get me out. So I'm going, oh, for fuck's sake. Stiffy now. I've run the bath with fucking hot tubs on. I'm like, oh.
Get the Radox out.
The Radox is back out. I'm bringing people for rubs. I get up in the morning and I go, oh, I'm banging trouble here. I can't train. I'm thinking, by the time I got through them gates at Spurs Lodge, I was a new man again. It was like something come out. I'm like, morning all, morning. I feel great. Feel amazing. Yeah.
So do you think that Cluffy stitched you up, or do you just think his hands were tied, or a bit of both, or what?
Do you know what? I mean, he stitched me up, but I don't think he meant it. It was one of those things. I think he thought one thing that was promised and it didn't come right. And I think he was a little bit, I mean, I never saw him. Since that day I left, I never saw him till probably, when did I finish? So probably 4 or 5 years later when I was coaching. And I think he was manager at Burton, possibly. And I was at Peterborough, possibly. And then fucking, that's the first time we'd met each other since that day. We both sort of looked and went, all right? Because I didn't say anything. Didn't speak to him again. I just went, bang. Didn't come back. Didn't speak to no one. Only Jake Livermore knew who was next to me when I took the call. I don't think for 1 minute he stitched me up. What I should have done, I stitched myself in a way. I didn't use agents because I didn't really like him at the time. But what I learned then, even at that late age, was someone says, fucking words your bond. Fucking, yeah, brilliant. Show me the piece of paper. Show me the piece of paper and I'll sign it. Then I believe you. So it was a hard, even at that age, like, it was lessons to learn. I didn't think it happened, but it did. But it fucking worked out well in the end, so I was delighted. Because then I sort of got a deal round back at the West Ham money. Yeah, so I was buzzing.
Day to day, what was Redknapp like?
Redknapp was
because we've heard conflicting reports on it.
Yeah. I loved him. I thought he was great. Do you know what? He's one of those. He's probably not what you've seen. I mean, I think you've seen more of his personality now when he's done things outside of football.
The Sicky Toffee Pudding advert.
Anyway, I'm not sure. I'll let him go for that. He gave me 18-month deal, so I'll let him go for that. But I loved Harry. He was brilliant to me. But sometimes, yeah, you see him wind the wind down. He's not quite what he seems. You know, he's all confident and that, and I'll do this and all. Really, quite sort of a warrior at times. I felt like I'm worried about formations and teams. And I'm like, it's your fucking manager. You're gonna. You got a lot on your plate. But like the one that got me was. I mean, he was. I don't want to fucking. I hate Kane and Harry because he's a fucking great bloke and still speak to him now. But this one sums him up. Is like Bailey, Gareth Bale. We all know fucking how good a player Gareth Bale's turned out to be. Well, Gareth, in that point, was going on fucking loan to Nottingham Forest while he was at Spurs. And I was having a chat with Bailey in the change room. And he said this, I said, you're too good for that, mate. Just stay. So Harry will see the light. And what it was, he had a jinx. Harry thought he had a jinx. Bailey had a jinx. He'd played for, and this is what I mean about thinking, overthinking. He thought Bailey had a jinx on him because every time Gareth had played for about, and it was something ridiculous, like 20 games, they'd never won. They'd never won a game when Bale had played or come on the pitch. So I was on the bench. I was like, I'm number two. Because Cudicini, bless him, I fell off his bike. I swear my old man didn't run him over, honestly. But he fell off his bike and got had a road accident. And I mean, fortunately, it was fine because it was a bad one. And another fantastic fella. But that sort of slipped me into second, third choice with Ben. And so I was on the bench for one of the games with Gomez playing. And I was behind Harry and Joe and Clive Allen and Bondi. And we was 2-0 up. I think it was Man City. It was 2-0 up. And he's gone. And 10 minutes left or something. So they're all having the combo. So I'm right behind, so I can hear him. They're going, fucking, I'm definitely not doing Harry's voice, by the way. And he's like, fucking hell, I'm going to get Bailey on. Break the hoodoo. So he's going, I'm going to break the hoodoo. I'm going to get Bailey on. And they're all like, yeah, great idea, great idea. We're 2-0 up. We're cruising the game. He's brought Gareth on within a minute. Fucking, they've nearly scored. And he's like, ah, fucking hell. And then another minute later, I think they either actually did score or we got away with one massively. I think they scored and made it back to 2-1. And I swear to God, he's like, I've got to take him off. He's got to come off. He's got Jeff, get his number ready. He's getting his number ready. And Bale is coming back off the pitch. As you guys say, and in the end, I think we go down the other end and score to make it 3-1 or 3-0. And he stays on the pitch, and the rest, as they say, is fucking history.
Yeah.
So he was genuinely contemplating taking Bale off after being on for 3 minutes.
On my life, he was genuinely coming off the pitch. Well, he's not one. Like, Harry in his head's going, Bailey's got hoodoo over him. He's not, and that's a lot of games, 20 something games or something ridiculous. And he's gone, right, I'll break the hoodoo, I'll bring him on. And we was in control of the game. He came on, they hit the post, or might have scored, like I said, I can't remember the exact score, but it looked like he was going to score 2 or 3. The whole momentum changed. He's like, I've got to take him off. He's got to come on. And he was getting his number ready. Then we scored at the other end and we finished the game. And since, I mean, brilliant. But I think if you ask Harry, he'll have a different story though, and he might go, we'll just wait on the right time for him to kick on.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
It was an amazing change room. Look at the lads you had in there. With Crouchy, he was fucking comedy genius. You had Defoe, you had Robbie Keane. There were some unbelievable characters in that changing room. Tom Huddleston's, Michael Dawson's, great lads. It was a brilliant changing room. Brilliant changing room. But they're on the, as soon as they, I always say, like a top player's got that switch as well. So they can probably not coast through training. They've got to be at a level and they've got to live to a certain level. But as soon as they need to switch it on, they can switch it on. And that was the time, like 2 days before a game, you could see him go, it had changed. The whole mood had changed. Saturday, Sunday, Monday was what I knew with everyone. We'd go out and you'd have a night and you'd like, Tuesday, Wednesday, they'd be getting back into it and easing the self-through training. As soon as you got to Thursday, you could actually visibly see a game face. It was like a game face. That's the only way I can explain it. And they, really? Game face come on and they was there was Linkard, and Harry was great with Joe Jordan at doing the analysis side of things, and that was on a Thursday morning. Then they tailored the training to it, and you could just see a whole different side. They'd be great crack still, and they'd be great lads, but you could just see a different side to them. You just knew when it was game, when it was game day.
Just a reminder from Ben as well at Cow Gills. Chaps, obviously, one of our listeners.
Sensational offer.
Yeah.
It's, in fact, it's the best offer that we've ever given on this podcast.
Free advice for all Under the Cosh listeners. As we mentioned before, it's been a tough time for a lot of business owners at the minute with what's been going on, COVID-19. And Ben, one of our listeners, is offering free business advice for anybody who might be unsure or struggling at what to do with the staff, litigation and whatnot. And superb from Ben.
It's one of them. Even if you think your business is okay and you think you've got a structure of a way out of it, just pick up the phone and double check. Just hear a different voice, get a different opinion, and go from there. Obviously, I'm a businessman as well, so.
I bet you wish you'd have phoned up when you were on your aftershave. It could be an all different ball game now, couldn't it? I'm a failed businessman.
Should have given Ben a ring. Well, Ben's a little bit short.
The only thing is, mate, he's went tits up before COVID.
Where were you when there wasn't a pandemic, Ben?
Well, Ben's a listener of the show and is an accountant who specialises in working with distressed businesses, and he's been in touch to offer Under the Cosh listeners free advice. So if you're a company owner or director who's interested in understanding more about the restructuring options available, then all you have to do is email him ben.cowgill, that's C-O-W-G-I-L-L at cowgills.co.uk, and he'll be in touch and hopefully he can help you out. So it's ben.cowgill at cowgills.co.uk. Yeah, don't bury your head in the sand. Worrying about it. Take some proactive steps and address the problem. Zero cost. And there's no harm in seeing if we can help, is there?
Not at all, man.
Not at all. Failed businessman. Failed businessman's got me.
How did you get on with Pavlyuchenko?
I love Pav. Pav was great. When I was at West Ham, that is a long story short. When I was at West Ham, he actually rented my house off me in Woodford when I went on loan to Colchester because it was a bit far to travel. So I rented it out to him. It was fucking hilarious. So imagine, like, I did it through Roberto, the player liaison at Spurs, who's another great guy. And he said, get Pavs in there. Pavs had just come from where he'd ever come from, Russia, and he was getting weighed in. So he didn't care about money. So I said a ridiculous amount because I didn't even want to rent it. I said, well, I put all the bills. The bills are only like, you know, council tax and a few lecky bills. I said, I put all them in and we'll call it like, I've got about fucking $9,000 a month. The house is all right. We weren't like, I'll put all the bills in so he's not got to worry about it. He can settle in nicely. And they agreed to it. I was like, I can move to Colchester. It is then. But like, because I never had anyone look after the gaff, whenever there was anything wrong with it, which weren't very often, but Roberto would ring me and he'd say, look, can you come round? Something's wrong in the garden or something's wrong in the hot tub or whatever. So I'd go round and just have a look before I do it. So it's the only time I'd ever seen Pav. I'm going round to fix the house he lives in. So I think he thinks I'm like a fucking maintenance man. So when I signed for Spurs, obviously he'd just left the house in that summer. So he had 6 months in there, realised he was paying about 10 times over the odds. But I was delighted, and I had my house back because I was coming back that way anyway. So I came back in. Now, the last time I see Pav was, and I fined him a bit of money because he'd wrecked a couple of carpets or rugs. He didn't like them, so he just binned them out into the garage. And I ain't gonna lie, they weren't expensive, but to the inventory, there was about $4,000 a pop. So I'm like, Pav, fucking hell, it's a $4,000 fucking rug, mate. Like, it's Persian IKEA, this. So I end up saving all his deposit as well, so he's screwing at me. And the next time he sees me, I'm in the change room with him. And he's, I can see him looking at me going, "Fuck's my fucking handyman." That's the geezer who's just robbed me from the rugs.
What was the crack with Redknapp claiming a goal?
It's brilliant. But it was another time. I mean, sometimes it's better to be a lucky manager than a good manager, I suppose. But Harry was both, to be fair, at times. I mean, what he's done in the game is unbelievable. But we was away, I think it was Wigan away. And the crowd had got him meant. And Pav was a terrible trainer. But he knew where the goal was. He scored every game. So the crowd loved him. And I remember them going mental, like, it was 1-0 down or something. The guy mental, going, singing Super Pav and all that. Pav. And Harry's talking to Bondy, that going, I'm going to have to fucking bring him on. Anyway, it was 0-0, I think, at the time. He wanted the goal. We went 1-0 down, so the crowd got louder and louder. Super Pav, super, super Pav. And he's like, he's talking to Joe Jordan. Joe's like, fucking no way, no. He don't try a leg, Harry. And he never did. He was terrible in training. Terrible. And at this point, he weren't even bothered. And like, 1-0 down, still getting good. He's gone, I'm going to have to put him on. So he stuck him on out of hope more than anything. Scored 2-1 win. I was in the papers. We were just picking the right time to get him on.
No jinx this week.
No jinx. Brilliant. But like I say, it's good to be lucky, isn't it? No, it's brilliant. Honestly, he's a lovely fella. After the first initial few blips of when I came in, he realised I weren't the handyman that robbed him. And I was actually going to be his teammate. We was all right after that. We never had nights out so much there, but there was a couple. If I touch on them, it was fucking all right. There was never like a big drinking sort of crew there, but there was great lads. But we had good nights out. But the ones we had, I mean, there was quite big hitters there. There was on a lot more dough than I'd ever been used to. Even West Ham. West Ham's no, like, good money, but not good money. So we had a little triangle if we went out ever. And we go, so it was always a bit of casino. It was never a mad night, like never clubbing as much. There was Nobu, where you go for food. So you know, like Mayfair a bit, down that way, down near the Grosvenor and that, in London. So there's Nobu.
Jimmy, I have no idea.
I lost my head. But like they used to go, Nobu, Whiskey Miss was the club, and I can't remember the casino's name. Colony Club. So they go this. I was never a big hitter. I mean, good money for me, but never a big hitter. So they go down and they'd order, like, went into Nobu one night to start the night on a, and it was like beef tartare and stuff. The ridiculous starters was like £50 a starter and that. And I'm like, I'd no way pay that shit. I'm still Mansfield in me. Like, and they'd have cocktails coming in at like £20 a pop and all that, and bottles of champagne and like food all round, scampies and scallops at like £100. I'm like, yeah, it's fine. Lads will pay for it. It's fine. Not a bother. So they end up one night having bright ideas about 20 of us out. So bear in mind, you're talking £30 a starter, 50, £60 a main, loads of cocktails at £20 a pop, 20 odd lads having a good night. It's not the Christmas do, it's like a pre-Christmas do. So someone's had a bright idea. Let's spoof for it. I'm like, what's the worst that can happen? There's 25 lads. I'm not going to get done, am I? Sat with Ben Anik, like, obviously, me and Ben are like, don't fancy losing this. Like, we're trying to work it out. It's at least a grand a pop. It must be 25, 30 grand billy. So anyway, show face, like, yeah, I'm in, no problem. So I've only got my Yorkshire Bank cards. Yorkshire Bank cards and gone in with coots and all that. Like, and it's gone into this big, got the waitress over and all that, and we've got this, all the lads have put their credit cards in, last one to be drawn out has to pay the bill. So I'm like, I'm talking to Ben, I'm going, I ain't gonna lie, mate, I could do it, not losing this one. he's going me and all, mate, because we weren't on the biggest move. So they're all having a bit of banter, and one by one they're getting pulled out, and all you're getting when they're pulled out is like, Bale gets pulled out, he's like, okay. Robbie King gets pulled out, he's like, little bit of celebration, but not a lot. Happy day. I'm fucking in it to about the last four. I'm like, my arse is going now massively. I'm thinking, and I said to Ben, I said, mate, I said, I ain't gonna lie, you might have to sub me. This is gonna be embarrassing. That Yorkshire Bank card ain't got enough to cover this, innit? I ain't got a savings card with me. This is gonna get declined. I'm like, right, come. So I like that. I got down to the final two, and I'm still in there in the flipping thing. Me and Luka Modric. not a big hitter enough, is he? I'm like, and I swear, honestly, I could hear the Yorkshire Bank card clinking in the flipping thing, like shaking it was. I'm on the outside shaking. My Yorkshire Bank gold card's inside shaking as well, like clinking on the fucking thing. I'm like, oh my God, am I? Like, and they've made a big deal of pulling it out, and they're going, like, I'm going, just pull the fucking thing, will you? And the bird's gone in, fucking, and I just saw the first bit of the gold Yorkshire Bank card come out. I'm like, yeah! I rugby tackled the waitress, I fucking jumped, slid on all the table, I'm fucking on top of them celebrating over there. Lads, like, it was about, the bill was about 37 grand. I was like, I fucking celebrated like you've never believed. But Modric just got his car and gone, like, oh, yeah. It's fine. Make it to 40, babe. I was still on the table. Like,
oh, brilliant.
There's levels, isn't there? There's levels. Oh, there's
levels. That was levels. That weren't good. That could buy me an ass in Mansfield. But we had the Christmas dude. The one, yeah, he was hilarious. And Harry made a, he'd not made a big thing of it before, and it was just, he thought it was an unwritten rule that we weren't having a Christmas do. He'd made it clear that he thought it was old hat. You've all got your different thoughts on Christmas do's. I love them. I like nights out with lads. I think there's a time and a place. You can bond, you can get together. It's a great time to kick on with your mates. You've learned things about people you probably won't speak to in the change room. So I like it. Harry didn't, hated it. And I think he'd made it clear on the press, and nah, no Christmas do's and all that, but we sort of like not listened a little bit. So big Robbie Keane's doing the Christmas, doing it, doing the organising, going to Dublin with flying private and all that. I'm like, I could do Harry calling this off already, to be fair. It's fucking right. It's a right divvy up here. I'm used to putting like 50 quid, 100 quid in the kitty and all that. And he's asking for like a couple of grand. I'm like, what do you mean? I don't think I can make it, mate. I've got something on. No, anyway, so we had to do. We went to Dublin and we forgot all about Harry's review. We flew out. It was great crack. We started off and we're about 4 or 5 pints of Guinness in. Got, I always remember the big tempura prawns are all coming around. We're dipping it in with the mussels and all that and the cockles. And I'm about 6 pints of Guinness in. Lads are having a bit of bants and all that. And we've got the Sky Sports screen in the background. I'm fucking just about halfway down this Guinness and like thinking, who comes on? Gaffer, Redknapp's on. We're like, he's going, ask the question, Christmas do this year? Your lads having one or something? He's going, nah, my lads know he's fucking banned this year. There is no Christmas do. We're like, oh, fuck. This ain't going to go down. We're in the middle of Temple Bar, fucking 25 of us. I said, so we've all got together. We've gone, listen, this could go wonky. Like, we don't want to derail us. Like, we had a private party sorted anyway. He said, let's just have a quiet time, stay in there, have a few, but good bands, sing with a band and all that, and then, but keep everything on a down low. Like, yeah, great idea. Fucking 2 o'clock, we've got fucking 8-foot crouch in the middle of the dance floor like that, doing the robot, about 20 minutes around him. Dave Bentley's doing a stage dive into the fucking bottle bins and that. Oh, God. I think this might be getting back.
Did it?
There was a picture, and I mean, I spent about it. Big Ledley King. Ledley King's a fantastic lad. Gentle giant. If he has a drink, he's carnage. Carnage. And he's so strong as well and big. And he had a few. He never drinks, but when he lets loose, he lets loose. So he had one all year. He had one at Christmas too. I think someone got a picture of him walking back through the airport to the plane with one shoe on and one shoe off and all his shirts ripped and all that, walking back. And I think that was the final nail in the coffin for us. So we got called into the meeting the next day. All right, anyone on the Christmas do in the meeting room now? I'm like, shall I swerve this? I might try and blag I weren't there. I thought, can't. He went, to be fair, rightly so, he went mental. Find us all, said you made him look bad, and we got that, we get that, you take your punishment, paid us fine. I was fucking devastated though. A fucking weekend in Dublin cost me about 5 grand.
did he tell you before that you couldn't go?
Do you know what? It's not like it had been said, and he'd sat us down and said, no Christmas do this year, even if you're thinking about it. It was one of the, I think he'd mentioned a couple of things in papers and stuff, and but he never actually sat us down and said, you're not going. So the lads are off saying, well, we didn't know you'd said it, Gaffer. Like, but yeah. it was one of them. It was going to cause a massive... And we was flying at the time. I mean, we finished in the Champions League. Crouch got that header at Man City in the Champions League. So the last thing we want to do is derail us. So we all swallowed the fine, but we're going, well, we've actually got a point here. Like, yeah. You didn't say to us, we're not allowed to go. We heard it when we was fucking there. But to be fair to Keno, who'd sorted it out and a few of the other big hitters, he said, look, instead of charging everyone 2 weeks' wages, we'll put so much in there and we'll give it to charity and do some good with it. And they did that. I think we end up paying a bit of a fine each for the smaller fish.
Yeah.
And we got a good, and to be fair to them, they got a good pot up. It was a good pot. I mean, it was round the bill, sort of the bill at Nobu bill that went to charity as well. Do you know what I mean? So it was, although no one hears that side of things, it was a fucking great story. I'd love listening to it if I weren't involved in it.
We do a thing on a, if it could take five players that you played with on a night out.
Oof, from what we've heard so far, it sounds like it's going to be an interesting pick.
It's the only one I'm looking forward to, I'll be honest.
That's impossible. I'd go, I think must picks are, just because he was the best wingman ever, was Sheringham. He would have to be in there. Wingman. It was another level.
Has he got the crack? Has he got the crack as well as the good
when
looks?
He struggles, he always has his jacket with his Champions League medal under and just pops it out like that. If he was ever struggling, someone was doing better than him, he'd just pull in and the jacket would open and I swear the Champions League medal was in there like that. What's that, mate? The lights, the diamonds, they dazzle you?
That's why we struggle, John.
Yeah. I've got a League Two medal somewhere.
So we've got Teddy. We've got Teddy captain.
Well, who Brattany knows as well, Ben Annick, goalkeeper, would be another one. He's a fantastic guy. He ended up staying at mine when I was at Spurs and after, and still a very good friend now. He was brilliant. And that was going about GK Union. So we had that affinity already, but he was great. And he was a lot younger than me, to be fair, but he was up there with Teddy, to be fair. There's so many. I mean, some of the lads lower down as well was unbelievable bands. Unbelievable bands.
Marshy.
The lad, Chris Marshy, you mentioned here, he wrote a book called it The Good, The Bad and The Boozy. It was no good and bad. It was just the boozy. He was brilliant. You'd love him. If you get him on now, he's brilliant. What a guy. Roy Carroll was brilliant wingman. Although he was a terrible mix on each other because... We'd have Saturday, Sunday out, and he'd give us a call Monday and go, do you fancy? I'd go, yeah, come on then. Or he didn't fancy, and I'd go, come on. So I'd probably put Roy in there just to keep the party going. So there's two goalies, Sheringham. Big Ginge Collins, fantastic on a night out as well. But what a fantastic guy to have on a night out with his brother. And do you know what? I never played with him. But towards the end, when I'd left West Ham, I always used to still go out with Ginge, and there was always... Big Andy Carroll out, Kev Nolan out. Kev Nolan was a fantastic, unbelievable like skipper for their lads and arranged loads of stuff for them. It was a bit like, one I might mention who might get on the plane was Lucas Neal, who was at West Ham. I mean, he was skipping it and he was possibly the best skipper I've ever played with. He knew when the lads needed a night out. He knew when they needed reining in. He was like a manager within a manager, but one of the lads. And he was...
He's too handsome, though, man.
He was a good looking. He was a good looking boy. But as a skipper and as what he bought, it was like he used to give Herbs would come in and do his bits. And then Choppers, we used to call him Chopper, Lucas would stand up and he'd do his bits. And we'd be like, it'd be like a speech off Gladiator or Braveheart. And we'd all be like, going, yes, Chopper, let's have it, come on. And he was brilliant. He was brilliant. And on the nights out he did, I mean, he did a proper. When I did a night out, it was. Got the pub and we go to the club. He'd do nights out and he'd hire out fucking Harvey Nick's fifth floor bar and all that and invite Natalie and Brulia and fucking all his Aussie mates. That. So I'm like, Skipper, I love you.
Jim, who's the biggest hitter that you'd like to have a pint with? You know, like, because it seems to be the better the player they are, the most boring they are, if you like. But who's the one that you've met that surprised you?
Apart from Teddy.
Yeah, but Teddy would be the one. Like he was, I mean, I watched him again in just in the Euro 96 things that have come back on. And I watched him and I'm like, what a player. He was unbelievable. Like, and so I sat next to him in the change room, went on most nights out of him. So it was amazing. Like, I mean, do you see the, I think I said it on my Twitter, that like I watched the celebration against Scotland when Gazza scored that goal.
A dentist cheer,
and they'd be doing a dentist cheer too. Like, I watched that in the pub, I'm steaming and going mental on it and loved every minute of it, but hairs on the back of my neck watching it. And then 2 years down the line, I'm doing the same thing with him in Vegas. I'm like, it's fucking like, this life's mental.
It's a strange old world, isn't it, the old football world?
It's strange now, especially when you get, everyone's got a voice on your Twitters and that and Instagram and all the social medias. I'm all for it. I can take a lot of stick if I get it and it's deserved. I say, right, so as long as no one's personal to me for no reason, I'll take anything you say to me. But I know some people do get affected by it. I think it's a great platform. There's some great platforms about to show off what stuff goes into the game. I mean, I've got my website, Football DNA. I'm really proud of it at the minute. And that's trying to canvas everything that's great from the game. Because, you know, it's a real closed world. People don't want to share a lot of times. We've got some great stuff at the top of the game that needs to be shared with, like, sort of grassroots and lower divisions that could make them better as well. So with that, I'm trying to do that.
What's the website for?
Well, it started as a coaching platform, which it still mainly is. It's footballdna.co.uk. And we started with all the coaching drills, but we've progressed it from that to, as it's Football DNA, it's everything in it. And we've sort of progressed it to help players, help coaches, help clubs. And we're just trying to give everything that I know is great from inside the game that I've got hold of over the years. And people have been great inside the game. Some don't want to share, and that's fine by them. By me, you don't have to share, but some have been brilliant, great open, and gone, look, we do this week, and we've put everything on the site for everyone to look at for a nominal fee, just for like tick over. We've got a foundation as well, I mean, that's going, that we're giving everything we earn, we give to charity, which has been to the NHS at the minute, and the World Health Organization, obviously to help fight this disaster, what we've had, this pandemic thing. But so it's been great to do something positive in that time, and it's kept me in. And having that time off, being able to throw a lot more time into that. So we think we're somewhere near with the website, and we think we can help a lot of people with it. And it's great to see. I mean, coaches can go on it. And I always say, you know, people who volunteer the time to give up their time and not get paid to take, especially grassroots teams, kids teams, or I think they're, you know, not all heroes wear capes sort of thing. You know, they're amazing giving up that time to do it, and they don't get the respect the times they deserve. So to give up your time to do it, if I can make it a little bit easier by, well, there's 200 drills on crossing and finishing that you can use under 10s. They can go on the phone, type it in. They've been at work all day. If they type it in, they've not got to plan a session. They've got 600-700 drills at their fingertips that they can use. So it's been nice to put that back in as well. And I've enjoyed, like, people can see that. It's been great to do stuff for charity as well. So
brilliant.
Yeah, so I've really enjoyed it. It's something really positive, to be fair.
People getting stuff out of it.
Thank you.
Not mine, Jim.
Well, I could have, if I had 10 cans like Johnny, I could have kept you going for about 8 hours, I reckon. Well, great to speak to you, fellas. I'm glad it's going well.
Jimmy, mate. Top man, mate. Thank you very much.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
When your skin feels nourished and glows, you radiate confidence. Osea makes giving your skin a glow-up easy with their clean, clinically proven Mega Moisture Duo. This seaweed-powered duo features two of Osea's best sellers, Undaria Algae Body Oil and Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. Glow from the inside out. Get 10% off your first order with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code GLOW.